this is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Yes. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone enjoying the festivities and the summertime and people out and about. Like, hopefully you're all vaccinated and reconnecting with everyone that you haven't seen in a year. if you're not out, you know, rubbing shoulders and hugging every vaccinated person, you're probably in the house. And because you're in the house, we are going to review a movie that's on Amazon Prime, if you have Amazon, called The Tomorrow War.
Yes. So the film was actually originally made by Paramount Pictures, and it was going to be a theatrical release. But due to COVID, Amazon Prime purchased it, and we're now benefiting from that because we can watch it at home without going to the movies, movie theater.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's an interesting thing about, you know, when the pandemic hit, how it totally switched up, the big studio like game plan of, you know, showing movies. So they had to kind of, you know, buckle and, you know, share some of those theatrical releases on streaming form because no one was going to movies and movie theaters was closed. And the streaming service is like, hey, we'll give you some money to show it on our platform. So,
yeah, personally, I'm totally on board with this. Over the past year, I've enjoyed having new movies that come out on Fridays that I can stream from home.
Yeah. HBO definitely took advantage of that. I think they're the only ones that's doing it this year with their new releases. That's going on in theater and HBO Max, like day one, all of them. It's great, you know. But hopefully, you know, when things like fully open and, like bigger movies, I would say, you know, just be like, just go to the theaters to see it. You know, you need to see it in a big screen. Like, we're not going to give you a max look at this huge $500 million movie we put our money in. Y'all going to see this in the movies, damn it. So, but smaller movies, it's like, yeah, HBO Max, right?
Yeah, but I feel like The Tomorrow War probably would have been a fun surround sound big screen movie.
Yes, it would, because those big sci-fi movies usually have nice sound and bass explosions, things like that. So who's in this movie?
It is starring one of the Chris's, Chris Pratt, Yvonne Stravinsky, J.K. Simmons, and then it has like a fantastic cast of black actors. It has Sam Richardson, Edwin Hodge, Jasmine Matthews, Keith Powers, Alexis Lauder, just to name a few of the black actors.
Oh yeah. I mean, it definitely gave black folks some screen time. I mean, I definitely noticed that, and it was like, oh, interesting. And
we've talked about it before. A lot of times the black folks in movies are either the set dressing, like they're the waiters or the strippers, the gangsters, the bad guys. Or they're like, if it's an action movie, the first folks to get killed. But
yeah, horror movie. Yeah, that's true.
More diversity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even for, a sci-fi action movie, you know, they could have easily cast, you know, white folks, but you know, that's the thing. It's like just making that conscious decision to say, hey, you know what, let's look for, you know, this particular person for this role. Yeah. That's pretty cool they did that.
Yep, agreed. So this movie, it is the IMDb description is: a family man is drafted to fight in a future war where the fate of humanity relies on his ability to confront the past.
Yes.
And about a third of the way through the movie, where Chris Pratt's character gets sent to the future to fight an alien invasion, we start getting like a voiceover effect that's supposed to be the voice in his ear directing him on where to go and everything. I was like, man, this feels like I'm in a video game. Surprise, surprise. This movie is based off of a video game.
Really? Interesting. Like, what? Like, is it on a game system? Is it on like Xbox or something?
You know, I didn't
okay.
go that far into it.
Wow, like I'm curious about this game now. Like that's crazy. I mean, so I wanted to does a game follow? I'm trying to figure out what would this game be about. Like you just shooting.
I think it might be a PC game.
Interesting. Oh, okay.
The developer is Creo Land.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a PC game.
Interesting. All right, I'm definitely going to look into this.
Yeah, which it looks like it's also based off of a trilogy of novels.
Huh.
So I guess the video game was based off of some books. And the movie definitely is inspired by the video game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that kind of reminded me a little bit of like, you know, this one. What did we do recently? It reminded me of like a video game. Army of the Dead? Yeah, the zombie movie. The Zack Snyder zombie movie. Like those two, like far as pacing and far as, you know, action sequences, like they felt so much like a video game. It's like, oh, get here. Go through hordes of creatures to get to this checkpoint. And not, yeah. Yeah, it was straight up video game movies. Unofficial.
Yeah. So it looks like reading the description about the game, it does feel like it's slightly different from the movie, in that it's a space sim game. Hmm. Which is based off a trilogy by Russian author Alexander Zorich. The book's game are dedicated to the intergalactic war of two mighty empires, and the graduates of the Military Space Academy players will witness different stages of the conflict between United Earth Empire and Concordia.
See, now they should have done a movie just based solely off of that tagline right there. That sounds so intriguing.
Well, that sounds similar to Ender's Game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I imagine if the movie Tomorrow War does well, that they could easily make a second or third movie, because the movie sort of sets up that there is a United Earth Empire, because everyone on Earth has joined forces to fight this alien invasion in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that it is an alien invasion, because we get to at the end of the movie see this spaceship where you have a pilot and their creatures that they're going to set on Earth to help invade. So that spaceship could be piloted by the Concordia.
Wait a minute, was this like a post-credit sequence?
No, I'm projecting.
Oh, because I'm like, wait a minute, I don't remember that.
But you remember the spaceship at the end of the movie, right?
Well, yeah, because like in the Arctic of Russia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying like there was another ship when the movie was over. I'm like, wait a minute. Was that a post-credit scene?
Yeah. So in the spaceship, they show a pilot hanging upside down.
Right. Right.
It's not the same as the aliens that were attacking them.
So you think they probably would just like done an alien and put some eggs in those dead?
Right.
Okay.
So the pilot alien failed in his mission. And so there could be a second movie that shows the, I'm just going to call these aliens the Concordia. Invading Earth again. So it could, like, they could be just setting up for future movies. It is the next Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah. Probably not.
With aliens.
Yeah. I mean, unless they have their cars rigged to, you know, do some stuff and, you know, run their Knott's fuel car through some alien hordes or something, then.
It's the next Predator franchise.
That's true. That's true. That can work. Yeah. Some have to springboard off something. this is one of the movies that, like, the first, I made the first 40 minutes, I had to switch my way of viewing of the movie over to another wavelength. Oh, let me tell you, okay. There were so many elements in this movie that reminded me of movies like canon movies back in the 80s, you know, like, you know, old Chuck Norris movies, all American Ninja, you know, all those old canon 80s movies. Like, yeah. I was kind of getting like sort of like callbacks, except, you know, this is more big budget, like in Canada was just straight up, you know, 80s cheese. I was on board. Like, I had to watch it. Like, this is a new canon, like sci-fi B movie, over the top. Like, no logic whatsoever is in this movie. Paradoxically, anything. Like, this is one of those movies, like, straight up B-movie, canon, 80s. And so when I started watching it with that lens, I was having so much fun watching it.
Yeah, I mean, the movie was definitely... It seems like it's definitely inspired by, like, The Thing, Alien.
War of the Worlds. I mean, yeah, take your pick.
Predator.
Predator. I mean, shoot, we could even go Quantum Leap with some of this stuff, you know, with the whole time thing. All right, so, you know. Yeah, it was a lot of elements. So do you, all right, how do you feel about the time logic in this movie? How they were saying, like, time can only go forward. It's like, it was like that circle. It's like in a circle. Like, you can't like jump left, right in a time. You have to just, it's all forward. Yeah. You know?
Right. So it's not necessarily that time is always moving forward. It's that the machine that they're using to jump to the future can't go to multiple, like, different places in time. Right. It can only go between today and 30 years in the future from today. And then when it's tomorrow, you again go 30 days in the future, 30 years in the future, but the next day. So if I jumped on Monday and you jumped on Tuesday, I would have already been in the future a day because you jumped a day after me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it definitely simplifies the whole time paradox continuum thing in my mind, because then you don't have people jumping back and forth and running into themselves or messing up the timeline.
Yeah.
Creating paradox Earths.
Right. Yeah. And another thing. So the whole recruitment was based off of humans in the past that was already like killed or KIA'd right? So they were saying they didn't want to mess up, like you said, that the space time continuum. So they found people that's dead, go back to them in the past, you know, and recruit them.
Yeah. So if you, like, let's say we're in 2021, let's say if I die in 2030, then I am safe to jump to the future to 2050 because I won't run into myself.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. Okay. So another question. In the future, at that point, when you pop into the future, the 30 years into the future. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, the population was like at a million or 100 or 500,000. It was something like that. We were like really low. We were like, we're really low, right? Like, wasn't like the human numbers like super, like almost, we're almost extinct.
Yeah. I think they said something like 50,000 or 300,000 people left.
Right. So which person, because a lot more people died in the future. So if you're tapping an individual from the future to go back, like how, it's like, you know, you see the numbers are off. The numbers are off. So, okay. So every year you can recruit less and less people because they're dead at a certain timeline, correct? So if that's the case.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like if I'm in 2050 and I'm going back to 2020 to recruit people that died in 2030.
Right.
If I keep killing present day people, then there's no one in the future, like because their timeline ends, then it makes it harder for future people to be created to then populate the earth in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, just questions, you know. See, when I started doing all that in my head, that's when I switched over to canon film, 80s movie, just watch stuff blow up, forget the logic, have fun, move on.
And once again, halfway through, I was like, but I kind of agree with the aliens that they're fading out the population on Earth so that it was a better place. We need to stop making movies that talk about thinning out the world's population because it just appeals to me so much.
Yeah. I mean, even though with all those scenarios, I would definitely rather have a Thanos, you know, thin out herd than this, because this seems a lot gruesome and horrible.
Yeah, way more PTSD when you have these types of aliens versus the Thanos.
Yeah, because with the snap, you just kind of gone, you know? Like, yeah. Yeah, it's not like you burned into death. It's not like your molecules are like, you know, exploding. You just disappear. Just phew.
Right. Yeah. Unless you're Spider-Man, and then you can sense it coming. That's all leather.
I know. You're making my eyes water. Oh, it always gets to me when I see him dead, like deteriorated Tony Stark's arms.
So Chris Pine, it comes his Pratt. Turn. Pratt, sorry. Chris Pratt's turn to go to the future, and his character is like a science teacher slash he used to be in the military, or the Rangers or something. Mm-hmm. And so he gets sent to the future, and his first task is to get all of the research out of a medical lab, the last standing medical lab, and get it to the last group of people fighting on Earth. And normally they land when they go into the future, like 10 or 15 feet off the ground. But this time the coordinates were all fucked up and they landed up in the air above a bunch of buildings. So most of their crew get killed, but we get to keep a few characters And this is where we get introduced to the aliens, which are creepy. It's like, how would you describe the aliens? Okay, so they have like 3 or 4 tentacles, long tentacle type things that have mouths at the end that shoot
like bones.
Yeah, bones slash barbs out of them. Mm-hmm. But then they also have normal legs that you would have like on a dog or a mountain lion that allows them to run.
Mm-hmm.
And then their face.
Yeah, it's like,
it's sort of alien-esque.
Yeah, and they have like the teeth that like... the alien design was very unique. That's why we're trying to figure out like how to describe these, what were they, white claws or white, I forgot what they called them, aliens.
They call them white claw.
Are they calling them white claws, something like that,
or is that just the drink that we're getting mixed up?
Maybe, I don't know, because they named the alien something. It was like, yeah, something claw.
Yes, yeah, white something.
Yeah. White aliens.
Yeah, but so we get a pretty cool like fighting and chasing and destruction scene at the beginning. And then Chris's character makes it to the base, and him and a couple of the folks from the original crew, really just 3. Make it out of the city safely.
Yeah.
And he meets the voice on the other line that's been giving him all of his directions. And we come to find out that the colonel in charge of all the research is actually his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets to meet his daughter in the future.
Yeah. And the whole, and again, other thing with the paradise. You know, it's like, oh, you meet your daughter 30 years, but so the real reason why she brought her dad back is to take a toxin that can kill the queen alien, like aliens with Sigourney Weaver, yeah, kill the queen, right? And so she sends Chris back to the past with the serum or the toxin, right? And this is when he come back that they find out, oh yeah, the ship is in Russia in the same way. And that's when they go to try to, you know, use the toxin against the queen, where she's already crash landed and sleeping. Right. So is that even possible though? You know, because wouldn't that mess up the space-time?
I think the only way that, I mean, yes and no, because it should mess up the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they don't have the aliens in the future to fight.
Right.
In order to create the the toxin.
Right.
So then go back to the present to defeat the aliens. But if they find the aliens today and they have some of the remnants of the alien, then they can still create the toxin so that you don't have to go do the time traveling things.
Right. So in other words, the future will be helping a past that will ultimately erase the future that helped that past, right? Because the timeline will be totally different because it will be no war to fight in the future.
Right. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I stopped like trying to think about it. Let me just watch this movie.
Yeah. I mean,
Because, you know, sometimes logic police, especially when it comes to time movies, your mind just slowly just start asking the questions about time.
Yeah, but I feel like anytime there is a movie that deals with time, if you start to focus on that in the movie, then you lose track of having fun with the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. If the explanation of time in that movie explains it right, it's like Back to the Future. I mean, you know, we knew the stakes. We knew how time worked in that movie. We got like the Doc Brown, just manic explanations, and cool. And we still enjoyed it. I think with this one, it's just like, it was just a lot of scenes that had me questioned, like, okay, how time work in the context of what they're doing with time in this movie. Yeah. You know, so yeah, it just had me asking so many questions.
It's not like Tenet, I know a lot of people had problems with all the time going on in there, but to me, the time thing in Tenet made perfect sense.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm still waiting for you to do a Venn diagram of that one.
Yeah. Like, Back to the Future is the simplest version of time travel.
Yeah.
Simple. What was the Bruce Willis movie with time travel?
Looper.
Like, yeah. That also did a great job of dealing with time travel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I mean, some do, you know. Yeah.
I think it was either Amazon or Netflix that had a TV show that went a couple seasons that dealt with people from the future traveling to the present and like taking over folks' bodies.
Mm. Interesting.
That had that messed with time in a whole different way, because it was just their minds, their conscience, that was traveling in time. And then basically what would happen is when they jumped into another person's body, they could only jump into a person's body if that person was on the verge of death.
Oh, is that Sense8 or Sense?
No, okay. that was people connected psychically.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I don't remember what this one was. It's I won't remember it.
Yeah. We'll find it on Netflix or something. That's fine. If it's still whatever available. Yeah.
It's still available. First season was really worth watching.
Okay. Right on. So actually, you know, we have to mention the great J.K. Simmons.
he plays the father that abandoned his son that then is trying to make up for it as an adult. And the son, of course, Chris doesn't want to have anything to do with him. But ultimately, in the end, the only person that can help him fight the aliens is his father, Chris Sims. And he is like buff Santa. He comes back with giant muscles and his beard. Just sort of having fun.
Yeah. Like I said, it's always good seeing JK doing whatever role he's playing. He always brings something special to the table. they foil the potential invasion of the white aliens, and Chris can enjoy the rest of his life knowing that he ended the Tomorrow War. ..
Right. I mean, in my mind, it's open. It's setting up the thing for a future, for movies 2 and 3, because it is an invading alien species. So the aliens can just keep coming.
Yeah, that's true.
The aliens were only using one of their tools to defeat the humans. They may have other things.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, then.
For the record, IMDb doesn't say anything about the Tomorrow War movie and the Tomorrow War video games being connected. It just may be coincidence. But the fact that they're both about invading aliens, just in my mind, that feels like they should be connected.
Yeah, it's probably connected. Yeah, I'm going to say it is, because if all of them have the same, synopsis.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. And I'm going to try to play that game.
The TV show is called Travelers.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was on Netflix. I had 3 seasons.
Okay. Yeah. Give it a look-see. All right. So what's our stuck on tarmac rating system?
Sitting on the sofa, watching it with a family. You'd rather do something while it's on in the background, like cleaning the house, or going outside and taking on the alien hordes yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it was a fun ride. Like I said, Chris Pratt always can deliver on a like action, movie. You know, he definitely got it, to either hoard dinosaurs or trek the galaxy, Okay, when I first, like I said, first 40 minutes of it, it was a go out. It was a straight go outside. Like, what is the, what is going on with this time stuff? Just ask all these time questions. But then once I was like, okay, this is a canon movie. This is a 1984 canon sci-fi B movie. And once I started watching, I was like, okay, choose on. But I can't give it a sit down though, because it's too many time discrepancies in this movie.
Right. So for me, it is sit down, because I went in with the mindset of I'm watching something in the same category as I would put Fast and Furious. It's like mindless eye candy that I need on a Friday night when I'm not going out to a restaurant or a bar and doing nothing but making sure the dog stays calm because of the stupid fireworks. Mm-hmm. And so I can turn this super loud and the dog just thinks that anything that's popping is coming from the TV. So totally entertaining. I liked the fact that J.K. Simmons was like totally buff, like huge arms, just totally ripped. And then Chris, he had a little bit of a dad bod. I don't know if you noticed that, but there's this scene where he took off his shirt and he was all soft and not like he is in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Right.
Yeah, he didn't have the Star-Lord six pack.
Right, exactly. So I thought that was, nice and a little bit more realistic. My one pet peeve with the movie is it fucking uses that bass. And it's the same bass that's overused in all action movie trailers. It's the... Yeah. The opening scene, it's using that. When they're falling from the sky onto the swimming pool, sound guys, stop using that fucking bass.
Yeah.
We get it. It's like this sound that says we're about to go into an action movie. We get it. You don't need to keep using it. Find a different sound.
Exactly, man. Like, it's like, wow. It's like, why people don't want to be like John Williams anymore? It baffles me. It's like, come on, you guys could do so much more with sound and scores and music, and movies. Just like, come on, like let's elevate, guys. Let's elevate.
Back to the same thing.
Yeah, that pet peeve and how they cut trailers for, I mean, when they cut TV trailers for horror movies now, it's so horrible. And I always have like that 3-minute like silent like pause in the scene, like you see, yes. And then all of a sudden and then the rated R coming soon. I'm like,
I need the sound guys to find new sounds and the folks making the trailers to stop doing the exact same bullshit over and over and over again.
Yes, please. Ugh. Yeah.
And for anyone that's wondering why we're not doing The Conjuring, the Devil's Temple or whatever, it's because it's a sci-fi or supernatural episode. No, we're not reviewing it.
Yeah, Jen was like, nope. Like, okay. Yeah, you'll wait for Sam and Dean to walk in.
It was just disappointing.
That's funny. That's okay. That's what the Tomorrow War is. An 80s canon movie and a sci-fi network movie. It felt more like a sci-fi network movie than like anything else. So I was like, yeah, I mean, like once I started watching like that, like, okay, I gave it a pass, you know.
Yeah, oh, I realized what the bugs look, the aliens look like. It's like a giant tick, but with tentacles that shoot barbs.
Okay.
Giant white tick.
There you go. We're fighting ticks from outer space.
Yeah.
Cool. So there you have it, guys. The Tomorrow War. It's on Amazon Prime. Give it a look. It's definitely an entertaining 2 hours. It's like 2 hours and 10 or 15. It's over 2 hours. But just get your heads up on that. But it's not. Yeah, but it's definitely not a slow one. You'll definitely get into the thick of it, you know, before too long. Alright, so we'll see you guys Thursday. Until then, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
get your vaccines.
Yes. Peace.